for a while now, I've been... The word myths has been on my mind. And when I'm... Not maths, don't worry. We're not going to do any maths. Myths. M-Y-T-H-S. And really, because I feel like sometimes they're sort of myths that we sort of buy into. And I call them sort of low-level things that perhaps we don't know aren't quite true, but there's something about it. And so when I started exploring this, God started giving me lots of myths about church. And I started writing them all down. I think, okay. Well, each one is probably a sermon, so I'm not going to go through them. So there's enough to sort of carry on for a while. But there's one that I put on my heart today, and I'll share it anyway, and hopefully it will fit in with everything that we've been hearing. But this myth is that serving is a term we use to get people to do things. That's the myth. Serving is a term we use to get people to do things. We often use the word serving in a church context, but how do we, honestly, how do we react when we hear the word serving? You're probably going to go, oh no, it's a bit of a negative word. He's going to ask me to do something now. You know? And it's often aligned with doing jobs. And if you feel a slight negative towards that word, then the chances are God wants to speak to you today. Because it's not a negative word. And I'm going to just quickly show you why. And try and just open up perhaps one of those little filters that we get stuck from past experience of what serving means. So generally, when I want to find out something that's what God's saying, first place I start is the Bible. It's really quite a good place to start. I recommend that. It's good. So I found, well, there's actually one verse that came to mind, and I'm a bit of a doer myself. I like to do things. And there's one verse that sort of has been through my life, it's with me through my life, in Colossians 3, 23, 24, it might even come up. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So that verse really always spoke to me, because it was more like, right, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart, and I'm going to do it for God, even though, you know, I might be doing it for other people, but I'm really doing it for God. So, which is good. It's a good verse, and that I've felt really sometimes has carried me when I've not felt like doing things. But it was a good place to start, but I started digging deeper because I wanted to find more about the serving. And as I started looking into the word serving, what popped up is the word following. So let me ask you a question. Are you a follower of Jesus? Yeah, cool. You're in the right place. So if you are a follower, I'm assuming most of you are, or that maybe you want to be a follower, then this verse is for you. John 12, 26. Whoever serves me must follow me. Not good. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. So there is something about serving that is linked to following. So if you're a follower, I'm afraid serving is part of the deal. Serving is part of the deal. So, and then I went a little bit further. I'm rushing through this. I'm going through this quick. So for your benefit, because I don't want to speak for too long. But, and Kate's got a few things to say as well. So, I've got to give us some time. But I looked a little bit deeper into this, and actually what I've found out is that service is actually intrinsically linked to God himself. It's not an action that we just do. See, if you look at the Trinity, and we've talked about this before in the past, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're three. Some may see it as a hierarchy, that the Father is the boss and tells the Son and Holy Spirit what to do, but that's completely untrue. God, they're all equal. And the way that they work, they're a team. They're not a dictatorship. They are a team. And the way that they work is they serve each other. That is the essence of how they operate. They love. God is love. And out of loving, they serve each other. So actually, serving is an intrinsic thing of God, how he works. How he works. And he's made us in his image. So we can't get away from it. We can't get away from what that means, serving. But it's not just saying, right, I'm doing something. That's the thing. It's more about a relationship. In the same way as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in a relationship, we are connected to God and each other. And it's in that relationship where we serve each other, where we learn to love each other. And that's what happened in the early church in Acts. In fact, if you read that, they started it. The beginning of the church was based on that. Isn't that cool? So I'm just going to read another verse from Mark 12:29-31. This is in the Message, and you've heard this a lot of many times. Jesus said, "The first in importance." So this put in context. So the rabbis were asking him, what is the most important commandment? They were trying to test him. And what is the most important out of them all? And Jesus said, the first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So Jesus is bringing this back and reminding them, the Lord your God is one. They're serving, they're so united and together that they are called one, and yet they're three. That's the amazing thing. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. So that's all it's about. It's loving the God, Lord, your God, with all your passion, with everything you have, with your intellect, your intelligence, with your emotions, with your energy. It's loving God. That's what it means to serve. To serve God is loving God. So it's not a thing about doing jobs. I love this passage. I'm going to read a lot of Bible verses. So I'm just going to read this to you. Philippians 1 to 11, which is another great one from the Message, but it does say it really well. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit, so connected to the Spirit, connected to God, means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. How amazing is that? Agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him for far above anyone or anything ever. So that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago, dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. How amazing is that? I love that passage. Why did Jesus do all that? Because he loves us. We've heard about that this morning. He loves us. He gave up everything. It was his choice. He served us. He is the humble servant. How did he manage to do that? Well, I think that's because, and again, God has spoken about this morning. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. His value was completely set, and he was free to be able to choose to serve. So when we know who we are in Christ, when we know we are his son, his daughter, we know he loves us. We know we are free to choose to love him and love others. It's all linked. His, you know, the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, that yoke thing is all about, you know, two oxes or something like that, yoked together to plow a field. That was where it came from. And if they were pulling in different directions, it just didn't work. But when they went in the same direction, it was easy. And that's what he means by his yoke. He doesn't put burdens on us. When we're aligned with him, when we're walking with him, it's easy. It's when we're pulling in a different direction it gets hard, when we're aligned with him. So serving is not negative. I've rushed through that, but serving is not negative. It's what being made in God's likeness actually means. He's made us as serving beings. It's not a job, it's a way of life, it's an attitude. It's a decision of how we live our lives and follow Jesus. It's saying yes. It's worship. Worship. Is it sometimes a sacrifice? Yes. But it's a blessing. And it's a privilege. Jesus made a sacrifice for us. And the reason is it brings fullness in our life. It brings the fullness of God in our lives. So I'm gonna stop there. Have you got a few minutes just to be able to say? Have we got time for Kate to hear Kate just for a few minutes or not? Yeah. How do people think? Go on, just add you in. So yeah, I'm just gonna pass over to Kate because she's got another little myth, but I don't think it would be.
I won't say. I was owing and ahring whether to say anything at all, actually, but my lovely friends are going, yeah, talk. Okay, I'm going to put my glasses on, reach that age. Yeah, serious now, because I can read what I've written down. I just want to show you. I've made it pretty. It's all different colours, so I don't get confused. Right, so the myth that I was going to look at is I don't feel like I have a skill I can offer the church. The reason that I've probably got this skill. Actually, when I have my glasses on, I can't really see you very well. I can only see to read. So I don't feel like I have a skill that I can offer the church. This is probably more me. This is how I felt for probably a really long time, that I don't really have anything to offer. But the Bible proves me wrong, so that's always good, isn't it? And I'm going to not bother with the NIV, Ben, just so you know. Thank you, Ben, for doing an awesome job on the media. I know it's not an easy job. I had to do it the other week. Stress me out. So I'm going to do Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. In the message, Pete and I are on the same lines with the message. And it says, in this way, we are like the... I'm assuming it says that, yeah. Okay. We are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of the body. I'll pause and do my points as I go along. So we're Christ's body. We're a body of chosen people. So that's a good start, isn't it? So us going, or me going, don't feel like I have a skill. Well, actually, we're chosen. We've been chosen for a purpose. And we're part of Christ's body. Pretty key. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of the body. I've not really read it like that before, but finding our meaning, our function, our purpose through being part of the body and playing our part is really important. But as I love this bit, as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvellously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be. Oh, I'm going to get emotional. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we're not. Okay, so that really puts me in my place a little bit, doesn't it? Because I'm saying the myth is, don't feel like I have a skill I can offer the church, but God is saying excellently formed and marvellously functioning. Oh my gosh, That's really, really powerful. Let's go ahead and be what we are made to be. Okay, yeah, we need to know that. We need to be the thing, the person. Thing? The person that God's made us to be. Don't try to be something we're not. Yeah, I probably spent half my life trying to be something that I'm not. And I'm learning. It's a slow process, but I'm learning. But we are all part of the body. As it says, you can't function like with a cut off toe, or your toe can't kind of function on its own, can it? It can't just wander off and have its own little fun. It's got to be attached to something, and we've all got to be attached to something. So we all are, all every single person here is part of the body, and we all have a part to play, and we all have a function, and we cannot operate on our own. Sorry about that, guys. We have to be in relationship with each other, and we have to function together. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Okay, so, and we need to be what God has made us to be. And each person's equally important. If you want to read a little bit more, 1 Corinthians 12, which I'm not going to read now, 12 to 31 is really good on that as well. But the whole chapter's worth a read, so read the whole of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to have a drink. What did I do with it? Okay, and then it goes on to say. So, we know that we're valuable. We know that God's got a place for us. We know that we can't operate independently of each other. We all have a role, we all have a responsibility of what God's calling us to do. So the message goes on. I love the way it puts it in the message. If you preach, just preach. God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teachings. If you give, encouraging guidance. Be careful that you don't get bossy. That's for me, that one. I think I'm a bit of an encourager. I think that's part of my role. So I need to be really careful that I don't get bossy. So you can keep me accountable for that one. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Go out like that. And keep a smile on your face. Okay, I'm trying to do that. So I love that because it's not an exhaustive list. Don't take that as an exhaustive list of things that you can do. It's not, obviously, we know it's not all about doing, but it's about serving and knowing our part. But, you know, if, like me, you're an encourager, encourage people in the church. I'm going to take my glasses off. Encourage people in the church. Go and have a little word and just go, oh, I love that outfit, you look great. Or just heard God saying this and I think you're really special. I think you're loved. I think you're valued. You know, if it is preaching, teaching, whatever, come and talk to Daniel or whoever, Pete. See if you can have a little go of that. I did it just as a little aside. Pete and I had a little conversation. We decided we wouldn't call it preaching, just sharing, because it feels a little bit more comfortable. Because I'm like, not really a preacher, but I have things to say, as you can tell, and things to share. So that's what I'm doing. But it could be any of those things, and it could be many, many more. If you look up gifts, abilities in the Bible, there's so many lists of so many different things. But one of the key things that I felt out of that bit of the passage is that it was a natural ability. It felt like a natural ability. So Pete will sometimes say to me, oh my gosh, you're so over the top. You said, oh my goodness, what you said to that person. Oh, did you really believe that? I'm like, yeah, I really believed what I said. They looked gorgeous. I just think they're incredible people. And he's like, oh, you're so over the top. But that's just me. That is part of me. I can't not say those things. It's a natural part of me. I am an encourager when I'm on top form. I'm not an encourager when I'm not doing great. But that is really who I am. That's what I'm about. And it's not unnatural. And I'm not trying to say it to be nice. It's just the way I am. So if I give you a compliment, please take it. Because I do really mean it, okay? Just as an aside. But I think those things are natural gifts. If you're not sure what your natural gift is, have a little go. Have a look at the Bible. Have a look at what some of the things are. And just have a little try. Have a little go at encouraging. Have a little go at helping people. Have a little go at giving. You know, whatever that aspect is that you kind of maybe takes your fancy, obviously pray about it. I mean, that's probably the best place to start. Probably should have started with that. Pray about what God's got for you. What are those natural abilities that are in you? And use those to encourage the body. Use those to encourage the church. use those within the church situation, within the world situation. It needs it as much, if not more, as we do here. Find out what those natural abilities are, and just that is being part of the body. Those natural abilities, using them. If you're a toe, be a toe. If you're a bottom, be a bottom. Don't really mind, but find out what part you play and play that part. I think that's really, really important. I wasn't going to be mean and ask Heather to come up, but I am going to say that Heather's been on this journey a little bit. She's doing the team, she's sat over there next to Donna in the pink. She's been on a bit of a journey with a tea and coffee. What part she should play in the church or just generally in life. And it's a really good story. So if you would like to go and talk to her, not that she loves me doing this, but I'm not going to bring her up because that's not fair. But if you'd like to go and talk to her about her story, it's a really, really good story. And it's really encouraging about her knowing her part in the body, knowing her place, and then in really embracing that, saying yes to God and embracing it. And I was really inspired by hearing her story. So please feel free to go and talk to her. There's one more Bible verse, which I'm not going to read. So if you want to go away and look a little bit more about this, then in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, which I've read in the NIV, it really talks about, you know, the gifts that you've received, you know, you've received them in God's grace. But go and read that for yourselves. So, in summary, God has a part to play for every single one of us. We are, Pete said it before, we are an us. Just as the Trinity is an us, they don't work independently. We as a body are an us. We can't function on our own. We need to be, as we keep saying, in connection with God, in connection with others, and we need to be hearing the right information. Those are the things we need to ground us and to move forward in our relationship with God. So go away. Pray about what are those natural abilities that I have. Have a little go at trying a few things. We're not doing this just that you will sign up on the rota, which is at the back, by the way, to try and do some things in church. That's not what it's about. What I would love to see and what I'm really passionate about is people, well, finding their voice, which is my journey, but also just doing what God really, really wants them to do, because that's where we find fulfillment. That's where the excitement is. That's where we get passion. That's where we get all those things that we need from God. It's like being in the place where he wants us to be. And that's what I want to see for every single one of you. You fulfilling the purposes that God's got for you. And it's exciting. And as we see little, you're all doing it, but you know, as we see more sparks, it's just going to get more and more exciting. The momentum's going to build and it's going to be amazing. And we're going to have so much reach, not just here, but out in the whole wide world. And that's really, really exciting. So I'll stop talking now. I talk for a while. Really quickly as well. I realise that when I'm nervous, I talk really quickly. Like, and hi as well. I sound like a chipmunk. Anyway, let me pray and stop talking. Please go, shut up. Father, we just thank you that you came to serve. You're a humble servant. You laid down the foundations. You showed us how relationships should be. And Father God, we thank you for that. And we just really pray that each and every one of us will understand that this morning, that we will go away and we will think about the role, the natural abilities, all those things that you've given us, and the way that we can serve you and respond to you and how we can serve each other, Father God. We just really thank you that you are incredible and amazing, and you just want the best for us. You want to see us fulfill our purposes and fulfill the things that you've asked us to do. And we just know that we can only do that yoked to you in a relationship with you, and we thank you that you've given us that. In Jesus' name, amen.